this is meant to be the cheapest place in Essex to live.
Mm.
And it's not. It's
and
really
there's
not.
Fights as well at the food banks. We see fights all the time.
Oh, I do. Clackers. Like a bustling seaside resort of 19th century England at the far end of Essex. Home to a Victorian pier, amusement arcades, fish and chips, and sticks of rock. Since the 1970s, when cheap air travel destroyed a traditional seaside resort, it became the final destination for the white flight of working-class Londoners, and as such, the last outpost of copleydom in a changing Britain. It hosts the highest proportion of economically inactive people in the UK, famously the only constituency to elect a UKIP Member of Parliament at a general election, and it turned in a massive 70% vote to leave in the 2016 Brexit referendum. I came to Clacton to find out what it's like to live here, speak to the locals, and the tourists. What is it you like about Clacton? And to experience one of the most dysgenic towns in the UK. Under the harsh Darwinian conditions that were prevalent until the Industrial Revolution, where child mortality was 50% as against 1% today, there was strong selection for intelligence, mental health, and physical health. They became bundled together into a general fitness factor. On average, intelligent people have genetically better mental and physical health, and intelligence is the big predictor of socioeconomic status. With the end of the British seaside holiday, so many of the businesses, so many of the intelligent people left places like Clacton, turning not only into one of Britain's poorest towns, but one of its most unhealthy as well.
Queuing in the chemist, I mean, it's people with who are obviously very obese. Of course, they're ill. This isn't like there's some poverty porn. This is genuinely poignant. The people here aren't just elderly, they're ill and elderly. And that's a fundamental difference. You can be elderly and be quite healthy and then just suddenly die. If you're selecting against intelligence, and you're selecting against impulse control, and you're selecting against mental health, and you're selecting against physical health, which is what we're doing, then this is what you're going to get. If you could just reanimate Francis Galton and bring him here and plonk him here, what he would say, I mean, he would just say, I was very, very clear in some detail. I wrote a number of books on this, and you did not listen to me, did you? If a farmer does anything other than only breed the best of its animals, then the strain degenerates, and does so extremely quickly, both physically and mentally. And you didn't listen to me. You just said I was evil, eugenicist, evil, evil. Even you people at Oxford University in 2023, evil, evil, evil. Well, this is what you get. It's like how when the Romans left England, pigs got smaller, because they were no longer being bred for correctly. We are seeing something similar here, except the size of the livestock is always increasing somewhat. It is like stepping back in time. Look at this, butcher's shop. Butcher's shop, only butchers, not supermarket, run by British people. There's things here that I haven't seen since I was a child in the 1980s. I haven't been to a Wimpy since 1988, because there are no Wimpys, and there's a Wimpy here, it's extraordinary. This is like it's like stepping into another world. So this is where the burghers of Clacton congregate once a week to talk about what they're going to do about Clacton. This is the Lady Mayoress of Clacton crossing the road.
Somebody hasn't been
done all week. No. Little interactions like that you can only get in a mono-ethnic society, right? That's England. That's what we're losing. What we will lose and are losing. He's filming me. There is a definite downside to the obituary of Britain, which this town seems to be, and that is, of course, the that word, the chav, what people in my grandfather's generation called people that are rough, and they're expanding. There is something really quite relaxing about being here, really quite familiar about being here. Everybody and everything is familiar. It's redolent of going back in time over 30 years to sort of childhood holidays in Charmouth. You know, it's like that Rudyard Kipling poem, The Stranger. The men of my own stock, bitter bad they may be, at least they hear the things I hear and see the things I see. I'm beginning to understand why people sort of go on holiday to the countryside or whatever, to these kinds of places, these outposts, these obituaries of England. And that's what this is. You can see from how people are dressed, particularly, and the level of health, the poverty here, and all that correlates with that, which is no IQ, which is no general factor of personality, and which is just poor genetic health, and it all bundles together. And everybody that is not like that has basically left. There's no gentrification here, and so it's just all that is left is people with those with that pathology, and it's very, very clear just walking around. It's got a reputation, this place, as being one of the poorest places in the country.
Well, we had heard that it were a bit run down, but it doesn't look run down to me. It's pretty good.
No, looks all right.
Why did you want to come hold it at Clacton?
The little one.
What did you think he'd like about it?
It's like the pier and the beach and that.
Hello. But you lived in Clacton for 16 years.
I lived in Clacton 16 years, yeah.
Have you noticed it's changed? How's it changed?
I don't notice the change because I'm on holiday 365 days of the year.
Well, what's so nice about it, isn't it? What's so?
The people, yeah. and the community, and the you've got churches that allow people to get on and form communities together and help people who are in distress.
Do you do anything like that, volunteer work or something, now you're retired?
No, because I have mobility problems and I would love to do that. Mm.
So how long you said you lived here?
17 years.
Yeah. Are you retired?
I'm retired through ill health. Yeah.
What did you used to do?
Used to be a lorry driver.
Was that difficult with not seeing your wife and kids much? You're away for a long from them.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to go into it too much. I've just lost my wife.
So. Oh no. Oh, sorry about that.
That's why I'm sitting here.
Oh dear. Yeah, so. She liked it here. She enjoyed
it. Yeah, loved it.
Oh my God! Oh dear, dear me. Are you retired as well?
He's not well.
No, I'm signed off at ill health.
Would you say you're happy?
Yeah.
The situation? Is it good living here?
Yeah.
What would you like to do over the sort of next 10 years or so? Would you want to just stay here in Clacton? Or?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, it's nice enough.
Yeah, it's quite comfortable here.
It must be about 95%. British. It's slowly changing, and I see this here as the obituary of Britain. It's only going to get more pronounced, and it's the good side of that kind of Britain, the friendliness, the mutual understanding, the little jokes that pass the day, and it's the bad side as well, which is the sort of rough people, the alcoholism, that sort of thing, the class jealousies maybe even. And it's that that we're seeing here in Clacton. It is a time warp, and there will be fewer and fewer and fewer of these time warps. That's what we would predict, until eventually there's hardly any of them left.
While some residents were clearly enjoying their inactivity in Clacton, I went to the local job centre to talk to some locals that were really struggling to get by.
It is hard in Clacton. Obviously, everyone's rising the prices of everything and everyone's getting less money.
And are you the same fit for you?
Basically, yeah, and I'm quite old now. I mean, I'm 46 and it's literally, you know, even to the last pound you've got, you don't know whether to keep that for yourself or to give it to someone else because they're worse off than
you. So have you got family that are, you think,
no,
struggling more than
no,
you?
No,
it's
family,
just me and my mum.
Yeah, all my family's deceased. My brother's in hospital, so it's just literally us two. And the food banks are not even opening as much as they was anymore because there's so many people queuing up for them. You know, we have to wait till Friday now.
It's
and
really
there's fights as well at the food banks. We see fights all the time.
What would you normally cook for dinner before
Anything, pastas, shepherd's pies, everything.
Just literally, beans on toast some nights, you know, as long as the babies have eaten, my little girl's gone without. I don't really bother about myself, obviously, I'm the mum. But my little girl, she's had to go without just to feed the babies.
Do you smoke?
No. Every now and then.
Yeah, if I can afford it, then yeah, I can. But if not, then
so what? What, I mean, what have you before you take it? You're both unemployed.
Yeah, I'm a full-time carer for my daughter.
So are you? Sorry, do you want to ask me? Are you applying for work in?
When my girls go into full-time schooling, I'm going back to care work.
Okay.
But until they go into full-time schooling, I can't go into work.
And due to mental health issues and physical health issues, I can't...
What's the mental health issue you have?
Just depression, anxiety, paranoia, bereavements at the moment.
Uh-huh.
I've got officers just come out from hospital, literally nearly died.
Oh, my God.
From a burst armstar. Just all sorts of things, believe me. It's just a manner of all sorts of things, you know. And honestly,
I've got a two-bedroom house. A two-bedroom flat, sorry. They only pay £600 of my rent. I'm paying £250 a month.
Out of her own money, she's got two children.
Just for my kids to have their own room.
But you're not earning money.
No, this all comes out of my universal credit. I get £700 universal credit a month, and £200 of that goes straight onto my rent.
Where's the father?
Oh,
he's gone. He's not about. He's yeah, a no, very good person.
Yeah, no,
is it the same father?
Yes, of course.
They sanctioned me for going down to Harlow to pick up my meds. I'm HIV positive and happy about it. It's other people that aren't.
But why are you happy to be HIV positive?
I'm not.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I'm HIV positive. It's other people that aren't.
All right,
They're not happy, not me.
All right, okay.
And this lot have just sanctioned me £250 because I didn't come to an appointment. I also had an appointment with a consultant in Harlow because there's no sexual health in Clacton. So I had to go and pick them up.
Right, okay.
And they said that's not a valid excuse. So they sanctioned me £250, left me £84 to live on.
For how long?
2-3 weeks.
Oh, God, okay.
And now they're not willing to help me at all.
What did you used to do before you were out of work?
I used to write systems for engineers.
Right.
I used to be a programmer.
So what went wrong?
I got HIV. My father, who owned the company, was a homophobe.
Okay.
And I'm not gay, I'm as straight as they come, and I caught you from a woman.
You hear about this thing on TV about people that need food banks or are on universal credit, but you don't actually expect to ever actually meet people that are on, that use food banks or are on universal credit, and I just have. And one of the things he said was he lives off microwave meals. And it strikes me that that is rather more expensive, I imagine, than just cutting up some potatoes and cooking them with a bit of mince or whatever, some vegetables. I would suspect microwave meals are expensive, and this is the kind of thing I expected to find. I was talking to a woman who wasn't... I said to her, so she had to use her own money, she said, to pay the rent. And I thought, what does that mean? Has she got savings? Has she got a job? No, that's universal credit. So apparently there's a separation between universal credit. That's yours. You have that. That's yours. It's not, obviously, it's taxpayers' money. And then other forms of benefits. This was quite fascinating. So it seems that universal credit, that's like a right, because that's universal. And there's extra things if you have, you know, mental illness or something like this. I'm getting an amateur knowledge of the system here of benefits. But it seems that we're all entitled to £700 a month for doing nothing. The one thing that occurred to me was how friendly the couple, the mum and the daughter, in front of the job centre were. They were extremely, particularly the mother, they were extremely laid back. They asked no questions. It wasn't like in Oxford yesterday, whenever we wanted to film anybody, they were suspicious. They wanted to know what your channel was. They wanted to know who you were, what you were up to. They're just completely trusting, which is a correlate of something I research, negative correlate actually, something I research on this channel. But they were also, they didn't really think too far ahead. They were very, very extrovert, very, very friendly, very, very happy people. And I think that this is a wonderful thing to be around, happy people. But a lot of what motivates people, and what motivates people towards success, I'm afraid, is anxiety. It's anxiety about failing, anxiety about ending up in poverty, anxiety about things falling apart. And if you don't have that, then you can be very happy in your life, that you won't get anywhere, and this will make you unhappy on a certain level. I think that's what we were seeing. And that therefore, one of them was saying she had serious mental health issues, presumably she was on antidepressants or some kind of a drug. And of course, this is because if you are a happy person, you can become unhappy as a result of bad life choices. And that's one of the things I think I was seeing.
I ended the day with a visit to Jaywick, Clacton's even poorer little brother, 2 miles down the coast, repeatedly named the most deprived town in Britain. To seek out the locals, I went to grab a quick pint in a friendly pub.
Cheers.
Well, here we go then.
Cheers. Cheers. Good to meet you. So what was your name?
Richard.
Richard. Ed, how are you doing?
Joel Michael.
Joel. Oh, sorry, yes. Joel, hello. Hello, Boris Johnson. How are you doing? This is apparently the Boris Johnson of... Of Jaywick.
This is Boris. Dark Boris.
He'll get it in a minute.
What does one want to say? Cheapest drink around Jaywick.
That's the best drink in Jaywick.
Yeah. Always clean their pipes here.
Yeah.
In his pub.
Oh yeah. Never a rotten pint here.
Never a bad pint.
They say that there's a lot of stuff online about this being the sort of the most deprived area.
Yeah, deprived. That's what I thought. Yeah, but it's not.
I mean, you've not noticed much about it.
I'll say more of the deprived areas around the corner from where I live in London.
This is a puppy dog area compared to where I come from.
Yeah, it's right.
Like this, they say about Jaywick. I walk through there any time of day, any time of night. No one's coming near me.
I know
me,
you're going with,
because no one's coming near me because they ain't. Because it's not like that. It's all myths. It's all myths.
You can only go as far. There's a sea. Can't go no further. I'm worried about Spain.
Holland.
But it all come out about London because it's getting deprived now. All saying deprived.
Everyone.
A lot of people got made. So much nationality. Yeah. Nationality there is unbelievable. Everybody don't care. And whatever.
So do you think that having lots of nationalities makes it a less pleasant place to live?
Yeah.
How so? How?
In London?
Yeah. How does it make it less pleasant?
Well, because at the end of the day, it's kind of you're an animal kind of thing, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes. We're all animals, aren't we?
Yes.
Right. So you've got one little country. So that's where you all go.
So
that's my point. I'm saying don't have four the nationalities.
Yes, yeah, true.
In one country, eh? Like the lions, the tigers, and the fucking elephants, and the gorillas. Don't matter.
Yeah, and then
lions in.
And everyone can get along better.
That's right.
How has it changed?
Yeah, it's not changed. There's not really changed about it. Half of these people come from London down to here. Not being nasty, but hello. I'm not going to be racist thing again, hence. You know, nationality is most of the white people or whatever. Yeah, not many. You know, I'm not going to be like that. But at the end of the day, I personally feel, that's me, you know, I don't get it wrong, but I don't. It doesn't matter if you're red, black, orange, or whatever. But at the end of the day, people need to go to their own.
Yeah, that's what my grandfather used to say. He used to say, I like Indians as long as they're in India. That was his summary. Are you from around here? Are you native Jaywick?
No, East London.
A lot of people then, that's another one. Yeah. East London, yeah. East London.
99 out of 100 come from London.
Yes.
It's not London anymore. It ain't England anymore.
What?
I was better off when I was fucking 8 years old. From that customer, we had a tap outside and an outside toilet. When we walked from that, they moved to Savannah Park. But we had a bath with running hot water. It was all Buckingham Palace.
Okay.
Couldn't believe it, yeah.
So you moved out here when you were a long time ago?
No, 8 years ago. Bought our properties in London for nothing. Sold them for a lot of money and moved down. My missus always wanted to live near the sea. She passed away in February.
No. Do you have kids? Grandkids?
Yes. Great grandkids, grandkids, and 2 kids.
All right. And you joined the Long John Silver Brigade? So it was the knee, they did it at the knee?
No, it's below the knee.
Below the knee? Okay.
But it's still very good, but this is me 9th leg since Christmas.
And that's smoking. That's just smoking.
Yep, that's what caused it. Blocks your arteries. no blood gets through. Gangrene sets in. Chop, chop. I was in a coma for 2 weeks before they operated. I'd have died that night if they had to operate.
Well, good that they do.
All these people wanted was their own little piece of England, to be with other English people like themselves, who'd laugh at their jokes, shared their history, and were part of their national family. As I finished my pint with some of the friendliest people I'd ever met and listened to their tales of their lives, their ailments, their injuries, and their bereavements, I couldn't help thinking that in some way, this lonely pub on this isolated beach represented the last gasp of England itself, a country that is busily writing its own obituary.
In your time in London, how do you feel it's changed?
Too many